Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Scroobius Pip, and this is your usual pre-drunk cast warning. So we recorded an isolation drunk cast last night. As I'm recording this intro on Tuesday morning, we recorded this on Monday night, and it may be the most I've ever laughed in my life. We're splitting it into two parts because that's easier to consume, but we'll put both parts out on the same day, so midnight and midday. So the one you're listening to now came out at midnight. You didn't even know you were asleep. And part two will be out at midday. As ever, the warning part of this is that this is five mates, me, Chris Glasson and Stuart Whiffin of the Hardcore Listening Podcast, Brett Goldstein of Films to be Buried With, and Ramesh Ranganathan of Hip Hop Save My Life, getting very drunk and being very silly. So we will probably say some things that are a little bit offensive. Please take them in the way that they're intended. Or if you're easily offended, maybe skip these two episodes. Let's get into the podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Distraction Pieces podcast number 300 and something. Numbers have no currency anymore in this new dystopia. We're doing a lockdown drunk cast, so I'm just going to leave a gap now for Buddy Peace to drop the music in, and then we'll just get going. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. And here we are. So I've got Ramesh Ranganathan, Brett Goldstein, Chris Glasson and Stuart Whiffin. How are you all doing, guys?
All good, mate.
Really good.
Hello.
Really good. Really good.
How you all, are you all used to this whole Zoom thing by now?
Yeah, I am for work. What I'm not used to it for is we tried to do like a social get-together on Zoom.
Yeah.
With a few of my mates, and I would describe that as absolutely fucking horrendous as an experience. I mean, it doesn't bode well for this, but it was difficult. You just became conscious of the fact that one of your mates, you don't normally notice when you're out and about, you suddenly realise that one of your mates has just been sat there doing fuck all for most of the evening.
Yeah.
You said, oh shit. It's like this reflection of how little you bring him into the conversation.
Yeah, the problem with it is you're facing everyone rather than just the person talking at that moment. You're facing all the people not talking as well.
Yeah.
The order of I thought I'd run this is we'd start with just some memories of the last time us five got drunk for a drunk cast, episode 130 in 2016, and then we'll kind of go through everyone's isolation so far and then spend about an hour letting Ramesh list all the shows he's meant to be filming at the moment. including Ramesh Investigates, Ramesh at the Races, Home and Ramesh, Find It, Fix It, Ask Ramesh About It, and all the other shows. So let's kind of start with, I mean, I have to start with Ramesh on your memories of the last time, because every conversation we've had since then has been you essentially saying that it was potentially the death of your career. I mean, it's turned out all right.
Well, but the truth is that, I mean, I've said this to you before, but I don't think I've said this on your podcast, is that I was under the impression that evening that I was with a group of guys that were all getting drunk at the same rate as me. And then I remember having a nice evening. And then Brett sort of walks me up the stairs out of the studio, and I thought, oh, this is nice of Brett to do this. And then Brett waited for me to get in a car, and I thought, oh, this is nice of Brett to do this. And I didn't think anything of it. It was only when you, Pip, texted me the next day going, dude, you were fucked, man. And then I realised that I was the arsehole of the night. I had no idea up until that point. And, you know, there was that revelation.
Yeah, also, walking you up the stairs is how you've described it, but I would use the word carrying you. carrying you to a car, making sure you were alive.
When Brett carried you up them stairs, we stayed behind to kind of clear the studio and sort the audio and all that. I feel we were there for a good while, and when we came out, Ramesh was still sat on the curb outside. With Brett just kind of holding him, waiting for an Uber to arrive.
Mate, I just don't know. I'm not normally that guy. I don't know what the hell happened.
Oh, you,
night,
I think, like, you know, drank a whole bottle of Kraken. Yeah.
Yeah, you committed to it.
Yeah, that, beat a Kraken, mate.
Yeah. After about the second episode, when we had a little time out, you asked me, are you drunk? And as you did it in the corridor, you put your foot in a bin and fell into the wall.
Brett got exposed later down the line of drinking water in between. Oh, he's just vanished. He's still there. There he is. Of drinking water in between.
He wanted to duck out of that accusation, that's why.
It said my internet was unstable and suddenly I couldn't see you. This is not good.
Oh, yeah. Someone was drinking some water. Oh, it's cut out again. Glug, glug, glug.
Oh, it's cut out. Internet's unstable. His internet's unstable in between every alcoholic drink. That's weird, isn't it?
So I'm feeling refreshed today.
So what's everyone drinking tonight? Ramesh, are you on the Kraken again?
Yeah, of course I fucking am. Oh, wow. Why not roll the dice on it all over again?
Chris?
I'm going to line my stomach with one of those, just IPA, and then I found that in my mum's cabinet, so...
A nice old bottle of Jameson's. Stu? Jack Daniels? Okay, you're going straight in. And Brett, what are you drinking? I mean, Stu, remember this is a podcast. So talking is helpful rather than just...
Right. Yeah, so I held it up to a laptop screen. Then, yeah, it was a bottle of Jack.
Chris did the same. As we can see each other now, everyone's just lost the ability to talk, which is great. Brett, what are you drinking? With words, if possible.
I'm drinking rhubarb and ginger gin and Pepsi Max Diet Coke.
Oh,
Ascrubius.
Yeah, good work.
Ascrubius.
I believe it is called.
I'm drinking a new one. I've got a marmalade gin and Pepsi Max. So, you know, shit's got pretty fancy all of a sudden. I'm calling it the lockdown Ascrubius. It's not very creative.
I'll tell you what's good. It's an easy concept to get to grips with, isn't it? It's a Scroobius, but it's during the lockdown. I fully understand it.
Yeah. Sort of does what he says on the tin, doesn't it?
The rhubarb one is called a Scroobius 2019. You might be able to figure out how I came up with that name. At least the lockdown is hopefully more accurate than that. Although that could be a several year thing in the end.
This is going to do my fucking nutting. I can't see any of you and you're breaking up a lot. And it isn't just because I'm drinking water.
This is unbelievable, Brett. Surely you've got good internet for streaming all your dirty films. Nope, we've lost him again.
No answer. Well, he's gone.
It feels like...
I think it's worth sort of clarifying what exactly Brett's frame looks like, because it essentially looks like a serial killer disguised as Brett Goldstein has taken up residence in his house.
It's so terrifying. For some reason, he's not even lit by the glow of his screen. It's just this dark silhouette. It's terrifying.
It's absolutely horrific.
That's how he likes it on Chatterbait. I think he thinks that's what it is.
That's what it looks like. It looks like we've scrolled through Chatterbait and got one of the guys. Just a silhouette, can't see his face. So, Stu, what were you doing? Oh, he's coming back.
Here we go.
There he is.
Hey.
He doesn't look happy.
Out of all of us, who of us have made films before? Look how well lit we all are. Then it's just Brett's silhouette.
Oh dear. So I'm going to start with Brett in case we lose him again.
Yeah.
What were you doing when lockdown kind of happened? Started, like, what did you have to stop? What did you have to change? All that kind of.
I was in the middle of post-production on a show, and so since then we've had to do it all in remotely from our houses, and it takes...
Oh, it's a good job you've got good internet.
Yeah, so it takes about 300 times longer, and I find it so infuriating, I almost feel like killing myself. What about you?
Well, I was filming a TV show in Canada, and I was literally on a night shoot in the woods on the Friday, and then on a plane back to Essex on the Saturday, and I've been on my sofa ever since, pretty much.
And so, you didn't finish it, did you? You didn't finish the thing you were filming?
No, I was on my last day, but we got, weirdly, that got stopped because of extreme weather conditions anyway. But yeah, we didn't finish the pilot, but apparently we've shot enough for the network to decide if they're going to go to series or not. So that could be a good thing or a bad thing.
That
could
like
be
a bad one. Thing. We've seen enough.
We've seen plenty, thank you.
Yeah, let's not bother them. We've got enough to make a decision.
We don't need to spend any more money on this.
No, you don't need to come back out. No, yeah, no, it's great.
Stay. It's safer if you stay.
No, it very much was on his last day. No, absolutely.
Stu, what were you doing and what's kind of changed?
Well, I guess every Friday for the last 27 years, I've gone and opened the doors to my nightclub. And I was very much kind of expecting to do that. And then literally the word got out about 5 o'clock that day that clubs and pubs and all of that weren't going to be allowed to open. So it was a strange one. It was the first time I actually had a Friday night off and I couldn't go and have a beer or anything. It was like, all right, okay, well, I'll just stay at home then. So, yeah, it's weird. It was really strange. Like, just so used to... You know, and it's my livelihood as well, so that's strange, man.
Having not done it for one Friday, did you think, oh, I could get used to this?
Oh, all day long, Brett.
Really?
Like, yeah, it's nice. Yeah, totally.
I've had 4 different Zoom meetings with Stu during this, and he's been laying down in all of them, and as he is now. He's the only one that's drifting off the side of his screen rather than the bottom of his screen. So he's clearly enjoying this period.
I don't know, because a couple of weeks before it all kicked off, Stu was like saying that he's got to slow things down and stuff because he's just got so much on. And then lockdown happened and then he started recording like 5 podcasts a day.
Yeah.
he records them quicker than I can upload them, basically.
Yeah. Well, it was so weird because I was saying to you the other day, Chris, it was like, I was working like stupid amounts and it was like, I'm getting like chest pains and shit. This is bad. So I went to the doctors. I was like, and he's like, yeah, you got to slow down, mate. And literally 2 days later, the whole fucking world just stopped. And I was like, oh, that was easy. I ain't really got to do anything. It's all been done for me. Like, I ain't got to work again there.
He's skipping back home.
It has been amusing watching Stu struggle on social media because, as Chris said, it would be a post saying, oh, we're going to do some more top fives on the podcast, post your top fives, and then an hour later, a post saying, I've just recorded top 5 indie songs from the 90s, a top 5 Motown records. It's like, you didn't give anyone a chance to respond, mate. You're not going to think, I'll do it myself, don't worry.
Mate, I ain't interested. Literally, after 20 minutes, I've literally done every corner of my own mind. And it's like, and it ain't an exciting place. It's like, right, I've got to do something because I can't be left alone in my own thoughts. It's bleak, mate.
I love it. What were you up to, Ramesh, when it all got locked down?
I was in the middle of tour, so I was just about to start the second leg of the tour. So I've been touring from September up till Christmas, and then I took a little break at Christmas, and then I was back. I just started back on the road, and I was about to do like a run at Hammersmith Apollo.
Yeah.
So I think we did like 2 nights of that, and then it postponed it all basically. So it looks like it's all going to happen next year
the second night of your Apollo, was it like less audience than normal? Were the audience like getting nervous and coming less? Did you notice?
Not that I noticed, but I know that people were saying they weren't sure about coming. Right. People that were travelling from a long way.
Yeah.
And also, I think that was the day that it felt like the public consciousness had changed about it. I think that it happened so quick, didn't it? But like the day before, everybody was being a bit gung-ho and this will be fine and blah, blah, blah. And then that day was the first day, that second show was the first day that everybody was sort of shitting themselves a bit. And it was a bit of a weird vibe in the gig. And I think everybody you know, it was the gig went fine, but I think it was at the end of that you sort of thought, okay, I don't know if we're going to be doing this again for a while now. Do you know what I mean? It was a weird one. I mean, listen, I guess what I'm saying is it was 6 out of 10 gig, and I need a fucking excuse. And if it's the global pandemic, then fair enough, I'll take it.
It's a fucking weird one, isn't it? Because, and again, we don't particularly need to get too political, but because the government were dragging their feet so much, it was putting it on everyone's shoulders, on comedians and on people who run clubs.
It was very much on the putting on your shoulders.
If
we were really shouldering that whole decision of the pandemic.
But anyone who's bringing hundreds or thousands of people together in one room, you're going, right, well, we're being told that we're allowed to, but then you start to wonder, as I said, at that point, as the mood started to change, it's like, well, do we pull it? Do we wait for them to pull it? Do we pull it because people are not going to turn up?
Yeah, I mean, and the other thing is that, like, because it was very difficult, because obviously people don't know, there's no textbook thing to do in those circumstances, right? So people are at that stage, when the government haven't mandated anything, then you're just sort of making your own choice. But at the same time, if I want to pull Apollo, it's not just my, you know, I can pull Apollo, but I have to know what the venue's position is on that, what the staff work in the venue's position on that, what the promoter's position is on that, what the position is in terms of sorting out the tickets for the people that have bought, there's all these different ramifications that I haven't got a fucking clue about. Yeah. And so it's not as easy as just going, I mean, I did say, you know, obviously we're all saying to I was phoning my agent going, look, we've got to figure out what to do about this my agents were doing the same thing, but because it wasn't set in stone what was supposed to happen, everybody was sort of a little bit, well, I'm not sure what to do here. What is the morally correct thing to do? Well, you're sort of working on the information that you've got, and things probably happened that in hindsight shouldn't have. We should have shut down much sooner than we did, but at the same time, it was just, you're working with the information that you have to hand at that moment in time, and it was just a bit of a fucking mess, really.
It is. It's mad, all of the, as you say, all the different things that you can't take into account. But also just watching the way different things are being affected and different jobs and the knock-on effects of all sorts of people.
You were away, Scroobius Pitt. What was it like when you, like, landed at the airport? Was it, like, different when you got here? Were you like, fucking hell?
It was weird because Canadians are exactly as the stereotype. They were all so calm and wonderful and pleasant and polite about it all. But obviously we're filming, so we've got hours and hours of sitting around with nothing to do. So we were seeing the UK completely fall apart and go mental and overreact. Yet you see in Canada, like the cinema across from where I was staying, just instantly said, we're going to halve the tickets so everyone can have a seat between them. But all right, that seems like a calm and rational reaction. Everyone went, yeah, okay, that's cool. And then it was just so calm and relaxed. But then, getting back, I was expecting the flight to be empty, but it wasn't. But I think it was that weekend all the rumours had started that they were going to be closing borders in certain places. America had already started to not let people in. So I think it was as busy as ever because everyone was like, right, I'd rather be locked down at home than in some random country.
Did people have face masks on?
No, not that much. On the flight out there, because it had just started as I was heading out there. I was only out there for 2.5 weeks and then came back. And there was a few people with face masks. But even then, as we were saying about just not knowing what to do, I'd read everywhere, as still seems to be the case, that face masks aren't going to help at all. It doesn't make any difference. So I'm walking around the airport going, these dickheads with their face masks. Yet now I'd be going, well, make sure you're washing your hands and make sure, do you know what I mean? It's the fine balance of not overreacting and not underreacting.
Well, have they nailed it on what definitely transmits it now?
Yeah, it's saliva and stuff, right? And so if you're sneezing or coughing and it gets on you, it's airborne but not far spread.
Mm.
So, in answer to your question, I've no idea.
I guess face masks would still... So I didn't wear one, and I kind of sort of look back now, and I wonder if whether or not I should have done when I was travelling on transport, and that last week when everyone, it was all starting to to kick off. Not just for my own safety, but just for others. Because heard a lot of people say they don't help. And then it's difficult to know what's the right thing to do. Surely face masks wouldn't make the situation worse, right?
No, exactly. And I mean, that's a good question, or move on to what you were doing, because your work stayed open for quite a while, right?
Yeah. Did it? Yeah. So I had a contract that was coming to the end of March, but a new one was coming, and that would have been worth a year's wages in about 6 months. It was going to be really good. And then they just said, it's over, and we're not going to extend it. But for that last, I'd say for the last 2 weeks of that contract... Anyway, you put your hand up there,
what's your job?
I worked for a large company, but I can't tell you who I worked for, basically.
Hitman. Was that worth breaking up the flat out anecdote for you, Brett? Getting that clarification?
I knew it was going to be juicy.
I'm a secret agent, Brett. And but for 2 weeks, I still went in, and I thought I could be working from home here. And they still had me coming in and out. And I reckon that a week before they finished, my girlfriend was fully like, she's got underlying health issues. She was, Ramesh, a bit like what you were saying when you had that like late night epiphany of how it was all going to go tits up. My girlfriend had it. And then she was like, I really think that this is a risk now. You're going into work. And they'd already told me I had a week left. And like, I have to take the money and know that I've got nothing else coming. So it was kind of like, I didn't know what to do. I couldn't just not take the money because I had like, I had nothing else after that, really. I mean, obviously the side businesses we run, but my main income was going to disappear. So yeah, that was all a bit weird, really. Going in that last week, and the trains were all dead as well. Yeah. There was just no one there. London Bridge was like a ghost town.
It's funny because I kind of, during that period, you were in Essex at one point and said, oh, I'm about, do you want to hang out? And I just kind of said, oh, I'm busy. In reality, part of it was, like, we're not meant to be hanging out. And I didn't want to sound weird or sound like a pussy.
Do you know what?
And you've been at work all week. And I've been in lockdown in isolation. And you're like, oh, you're about. And I was like, oh, no. No, I'm not.
Do you know what, mate? I didn't really think, like, because you're such a rude cunt, I just figured that you was just not doing anything anyway. Like, I didn't even think you were busy or whatever. And I didn't think of it until a couple of days later. And then I realised that, the reason why I also said it to you is because I was thinking, you'll be all right. If it's me and you, there's no real risk there. Like, my brain hadn't...
Yeah, but you come round mine and saw me wife and kids first, you prick.
Kiss them on the cheek and then...
You've got to work on sort of who's expendable and who isn't, really.
Exactly. Selection, mate.
Exactly.
But Stu was the same. Stu, like me and you were meant to go into London at one point, and I sat there and thought, right... He was at the club at the weekend with several hundred people. I don't want to sit in a car with him for an hour's drive. So we cancelled. But with that one, what? I kind of said, didn't I? I kind of said, I don't think it's worth it. But yeah.
Yeah. It's so weird because you say that about the club. And like the last week that we was open, the rumour was like huge. It was, you know, everyone was starting to kind of understand that there was a serious problem sort of going on. And our stance was like, well, look, we'll open the doors. I've got a feeling it's going to be dead. But, like, it's a 600-capacity club, and we'll do what they do in Scotland. We'll cap it at 500. No, that's going to do fucking anything. Yeah. It was like, we'll just let 500 people in. That'll be fine. And we had 500 people turn up. It went mental. It was busier than it had ever been. People, I think, at that point, I think the younger generation just seemed to just think, oh, fuck it, we've got a party because it's all going to get taken away from us soon.
Yeah. Everyone on the panic of we're about to be on lockdown, so
max it.
Oh, we need to put. I'm surprised you went at your age though, because you're high risk, right? Because you're a lot older than the rest of us.
Of course, yeah.
Hanging around with all the kids in that kind of situation.
Well, that's 24 minutes in, so you ain't done bad there, Pip. Fuck's sake.
So let's go with Brett now. What have you been up to in this period? Obviously, you've been doing your isolation film club on social media.
Oh, yeah. So basically, what I've discovered is, I'm sure you've all discovered this, but I do think that being in isolation really, really heightens how fucking mad you are. All the things that all your mental health problems are only maximised like being under a magnifying glass. And basically, I've always been aware I'm a workaholic. I think like you, Scroobius Pip.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what I've discovered being locked in a house is I'm very busy. You know, I've got a lot to do. But any gaps, since there's now not stand-up, so that used to keep my evenings busy. So now there's sometimes a vague little gap. And in those yawning gaps where you have to listen to the voices in your head, I've started making a reality TV show about a man on a dating show who's the only man on it because of coronavirus. And he's now dating a plant and a football.
And
the thing is about it, I'm doing it like proper, like full day's edit. I mean, I'm show running it. Like I've made that another full-time job.
And this is how you're avoiding the madness.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm absolutely fine.
It's funny though, because that's it. Because we've got kind of the parallels here. Because me and Brett and Chris, we've all got this isolation, but we've not got kids and a full family kind of scenario. So what's it been like for? Let's start with Ramesh. What have you been filling the time, and have you had anything other than parenting to now be on your plate?
Well, you've been on every podcast. You did my podcast, and I felt special. And then I've looked on Twitter. You've literally done every single podcast.
What are you talking about? Who?
You did
whose podcast?
Rich Wilson's. You did.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just Rich Wilson, but the point is.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a good podcast.
It's good because you want to fucking throw accusations, bro. Let's actually
get some evidence.
Jeremy, let's get down to.
And let's remember.
I'm sorry that I've done more podcasts than usual while I've been trapped in my fucking house for 3 weeks.
You begged me, Ramesh. You begged me to do it.
I did beg you because this prick, he pretends that he wants me on the podcast. He doesn't. I've bullied my way onto his podcast.
He did. And then he bullied his way onto Rich Wilson's. And now you're next, Scroobius.
I love that me and Rich Wilson would both consider Brett close friends of ours. So his fury on the fact that he's gone, that Ramesh has gone on the podcast of two of his close friends. You absolute prick. But yeah, other than all the podcasts, Ramesh.
Yeah, sorry, Ramesh.
Yeah,
the
thing is, I said to my wife Lisa, I said we were talking about what we were going to do with them, you know, school wise, and I said to Lisa, look, the thing is, it's a very weird situation, and I don't want the kids to be too anxious about that. So if that means that we're not doing full school days and we're sort of just trying to get through this as best we can, then fine. Do you know what I mean? And Lisa was in agreement. Unfortunately, these kids, they couldn't give a shit, mate. I mean, it's totally the other way. If anything, I said to Lisa, we need to put some anxiety into these pricks, man. I mean, they seem to be grasping the gravity of the situation. Do you know what I mean? But like,
you're more anxious at the idea of returning to teaching.
Oh, mate. I mean, the homeschooling is fucking dreadful, because it isn't homeschooling. It's you trying to log into a website while your kid shouts at you for not being able to work a computer. That is essentially what homeschooling is. Yeah. I mean, it's like you're just basically trying to supervise them, and then occasionally they'll ask you a question. And I was a maths teacher, and they're being taught a completely different way of doing this. So then what happens is I have this existential crisis where my son asks me for some help. I don't recognise the way the teachers have taught him to do it. I'm sort of struggling to get that method. And then he looks at me as if to say, oh, I don't think you were that good a teacher. And I go, no, I was. It's just we used different methods back then, mate. And then suddenly I'm in a thing with my son now. And I'm thinking, oh, as a direct result of this coronavirus, I think my son might lose respect for me. I mean, like, that's what I'm going through. The first week was okay. The last week, I would say, was apocalyptically bad in terms of keeping them focused and stuff like that.
Yes.
And now this week we're on school holidays, theoretically.
Yeah.
So we don't have to do any of that shit. But we're trying to put some structure into their day, because my kids, all they do all day, every day, is they either play Fortnite or they watch YouTube videos of other people playing Fortnite. And it's like that you could have an easy life by just letting them do that. But at the same time, you know, we're forcing ourselves to try and give them a little bit of input. And it's not going great. I mean, I can't imagine we'll survive the end of the month if it carries on this trajectory.
it's tough, though, right? Because I know a lot of parents who did that exact thing of going, look, not going to put too much pressure on it. Let's give them some time. You know, we'll do some schooling, but we're not going to be too strict on it. But then if this does end up being several months, you're going to have to. You're going to have stupid kids. If this is like the rest of the year, it's like we're just going to let them be themselves. We're going to let them be themselves for a bit. It's like, all right, now they're really behind, and they go back at some point, and they're like, who was your shit maths teacher?
I mean, the ramifications on industry in the future are going to be huge. We're going to have a whole generation of people that are just poorly, that are just undereducated. I mean, but then have the same equivalent qualifications. GCSEs are not going to mean as much because nobody had to sit the exams. Yeah. So, we're just going to have this whole... The workforce is going to be
really good at
a bit fucked for a while.
I think it depends on the age.
Go on.
Yeah. Because, what is it? The Norwegians basically just have their kids just playing, doing fuck all for most of the day.
Yeah.
And they've actually got some of the highest, grade rates when they come to actually, you know, into their teens. So if your kids are young, I don't know if it... I don't know. It might be a good thing.
Yeah,
possibly not.
Yeah,
they might all be, you know.
You might have Norwegian kids
in 10 years' time.
Yeah, I don't think. Listen, I don't think they're benefiting from this experience. I'd love to think that watching them do what they do on a day to day basis, I'm seeing them exponentially increase their independent learning and shit like that. But you know, I watched my son watch a fashion show on Fortnite today. So you know, to give you an idea. Of the levels that we're talking about.
Oh, we're going to see more and more of stuff like that, of content being provided in content. I mean, we're already seeing, like, a couple of days ago as we record this, the Queen was on TV doing her thing. Smashed it. Because Ramesh isn't making shows anymore, we just need content. So even the Queen's having to step up and do a tight five to kind of to fill in for the entertainment industry. It's tough, man.
Yeah.
So Chris and Stu, I was going to ask you what you've been doing, but the good part is, at the start of this lockdown, without knowing how long it was going to be, you did a podcast together doing the top five things you're going to do during lockdown. So I thought I'd check in and see how many of them you've actually done.
I mean, I can't even remember that top five now. What was my top five?
So we'll go with Chris first then. You're going to watch The Wire and The Sopranos. How's that getting along?
No, not started those bad boys yet. I've been stuck on Tiger King.
you're going to plan for the apocalypse. That's a day-to-day thing for you, though. Get good at scratching again.
What do you mean? What do you mean? You've not watched The Wire, but you have planned for the apocalypse. What the fuck's going on?
I've watched The Wire once.
Tasks.
I've watched it once. Right.
So it's a rewatch.
Rewatch.
Fair enough.
Good at scratching again. You know, that's something you're passionate about. Have you touched any decks?
Yeah. No, they're still under my bed.
Right, so, that's going good.
Sounds like I've started really badly, actually.
Paint your miniatures for your Warhammer games.
I've built a little miniature. That's it. That's as far as I got. My girlfriend's like, that's taken you 2 weeks, you loser. You double loser.
What is it you built?
Oh, shit. I've got one here. Look, I took a stew for all this last a couple of days ago. I explained all to him about Warhammer. There you go.
Look at that little guy.
There's a little toy for
you. Little guy.
And what is he? That's for people who can't see?
Just a giant robot, I think,
Bollocks. Don't start saying it's just a giant robot. Because when you was trying to explain it to me like I was a knob, you was giving them these big elaborate names like the blood god of fucking whatever. What's that one's name? It's got a proper name. I know it has.
What's his name?
That's the Leviathan.
Right.
The Leviathan. I think you named him Terry.
I did.
I think you might have named him Terry, mate.
Your fifth and final one was you're going to write a script. Have you been doing much script writing?
Oh, I've smashed through that, man. That's what I've been doing most of my time with. So that's been great.
That's good.
I've done probably about half. I've done about 30 pages now. So yeah, it's good. Really good. Yeah, man. Yeah.
So,
yeah. And I completed Pornhub. That's done.
You've finished. You've done all of Pornhub now. Yeah. That's good.
Every episode's done.
So what happens then? Do you get like? Do you watch like a cut? Do you watch a cut scene that nobody else has access to?
You get the credits.
Yeah, like the storyline's all over the shop.
So, Stu, you are gonna.
So not worth sticking.
I mean, Stu went big with his top five. You're gonna learn to play the piano.
Literally, my thing come from Amazon the other day, so I can link my old synthesizer up to my little Bluetooth speaker. So I've been doing that.
It's taken.
Stu, do you know how long it takes people to master the piano? And you have made that one of five things that you were going to master during this lockdown. And I mean, what a the insult to people that have devoted their lives to mastering the piano.
I'll tell you what.
It's all right, I've got a couple of weeks. Well. The club's closed. I've got a few spare
Fridays. I'll do it on one of the Friday nights. Yeah, yeah, smash that out.
Stu, show everyone your fingers.
You've got big fat fingers as well, haven't you?
There's no way.
That's all right, mate. They'll be all over there.
Chords,
but I've had to literally get one of them dry white pens and write all the notes on the key, so I look like a ridiculous man. Just like literally, the kids are just smashing it, but I'm like all over the place. I proper plinky plonk fingers and that.
I love it.
So you dry wipe. Every time you touch the key, you've wiped it off.
No, because I write it at the top, so don't. Actually
touch it. I was going to say that. Just finished with no clue what's going on and really fucking inky fingers.
How's your day been? Just shows his fingers. I've been very busy. Grade two.
I nailed Axelus.
Busy? Look at the state of my fingers. So, number two on your list was learn to cook.
Yeah, that ain't happened.
No?
Nah.
I mean, you left it, what, 40... How many years? 47 years. Yeah. And you've not done anything there?
Not really, no. No, I've been pretty piss poor on that front.
And now, Ramesh, you thought the learn to play the piano was unrealistic.
I'm really intrigued what else is on his list. Yeah.
Number three is my favourite because it's almost insulting that I predict the piano to come before this, but learn to do a headstand.
Oh, show us.
Mate, I'll tell you what, right? When I said that, Chris, you absolutely nailed it, didn't you? He bigged it up that he could do one, and I was like, no chance. Literally cleared a little space in the bar, didn't you? And then nailed a proper headstand.
The thing is, Stu, I don't think that's that impressive, mate.
I thought it was.
Yeah.
He thinks it's on a level with cooking and playing the piano. That's how good he thinks it is.
Not impressive. Come on, mate.
Have you mastered it, Stu?
No, I'm nowhere near it, Brett. Yeah, I've been practicing in the garden, and like, I can do the kind.
I'd love to be your neighbour, just watching 47-year-old Stu doing roly polies in the garden.
It literally looks like that because I'm doing it up against the fence, like to try and sort of get my balance and then do it. Yeah, it's a car crash, mate. It looks awful.
Do you think you can show us later?
I reckon I'll be playing grade 7 piano before I nail one of them, mate.
So, next up on the list from Stu, we're going back to ambitious. And bear in mind, he planned to do all of these. Write a book.
Yeah.
How's that going?
Yeah. I've been doing that anyway.
You see, I was going to say, on that one, I know you'd started on that anyway. So,
what's your book about?
Yeah. Having no skill set whatsoever and managing to get by with it.
I like that.
Hmm. Yeah, I can tell that you're good at that based on the list of things you attempted to master during the lockdown.
Is there anything that you could do before the lockdown? Because you're listing everything that you want to learn.
Oh, no, yeah.
I want to learn how to do my taxes. A few different things.
Has your book got a title? The last...
What's that?
Has your book got a title?
Not yet. No, nothing that I'd want to throw out there yet.
Nothing that you'd want to put on the front of a book, okay.
Because because it is, because your life has been that you've been in a band that's had singles and that, but you can't sing or play an instrument. You've done a lot of things and been successful. Yeah, yeah. That's going to be the big ending of the book, isn't it? But now I can play piano.
Now
because of the coronavirus. I can play the piano standing on my head. Your last one, far more realistic, was just a wank your big hairy cock off.
Yeah. How's that going?
How's progress on that?
Shut the schools, mate. Kids are home. Game over.
Is the actual... I've got a question on that. Is the actual cock itself hairy, is it?
Great question.
No. Do you know what?
How far up the shaft?
This is what I was about to say. It's literally... The older I'm getting, it's starting to creep up the stem.
Right.
Good catch up.
And so what is that... So how far up are we talking now, fractions-wise? Or give me a percentage if you want.
Teacher...
This is how most of my lessons. This is what I've been saying to my kids. We do it based on cock size. As a fraction, how much hair have you got on your dick? No, go on.
I reckon 10%.
10%.
That's bullshit.
Right. No, hang on.
You said it looked like a roll neck.
Right, well, I know for a fact that I am not the hairiest geezer here.
There is two astonishingly hairy people.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's some
boys. You've got more hair on your hands than I have on my knob, Pip. You've got the hairiest hands.
I've got quite hairy hands. I trimmed them today.
Did you?
Who trimmed
them? Do you really trim your hands?
Yeah, just with some scissors. Like when I'm doing my nails, I trim my nails and then just give the old hairy hands a tidy up.
Do they get itchy? Nice.
There's a picture.
Do they get itchy after you cut them?
No, I don't shave them completely. I don't go all the way down, so it's fine, really.
Hmm. Busy day?
Yeah. It's been a good one, thanks.
So what have you been doing then, Pip?
Yeah. I've been doing a lot of writing as well. Like the first 2 weeks, I felt bad that people were struggling, because as you know, I'm a bit of a self-isolator anyway, and I was just writing every day on scripts. And exercising a load. But then this last week, I've just kind of had a week of actually take some time off. Because again, similar to Brett, I went into a very quick, there's time, I need to fill it with work. But I don't think that's really necessary. I think it's a very British thing. I don't think it's a very healthy thing. I think we should be... I'd started before this to try and... After reading a bit of Rutger Bregman and a few other people, trying to prioritise leisure a little bit more. And trying to allow myself time off without guilt, without beating myself up over just sitting around and watching a film or a TV show or whatever. So this last week has been a big chunk of that. And my plan is next week to try and find a balance somewhere in between.
I have found that very, very difficult to figure out. Because, you know, when you start out, you know, like as a comic, when you start out, you've got to hustle. Do you know what I mean? And I know that's true for a lot of jobs, but you're basically putting yourself out there. And I know loads of people that started out in stand up who are brilliant and are not doing it anymore. And the reason for that is they just didn't have the work ethic, or for whatever reason, they weren't as committed to it as other people who aren't, if I'm being honest, weren't as funny as them. Do you know what I mean?
I'm right
and so
here, Roman.
The attitude that. but listen, you've made a lot out of what little you have, and I'm proud of you. But you know, you sort of get yourself into that mindset of like, I'm on that grind, I'm hustling, and if I don't work on this, if I don't work on my craft, if I don't work on this, other people are working on their craft, I'm going to get caught up, I'm going to get overtaken, all that shit. So then you get yourself into that mindset. And that's been that, and I'm an inherently lazy person, but I love comedy, so you sort of end up being a workaholic for it. So the idea of like comfortably sitting down and not doing that is something that I think is a really tricky thing to master and get your head around, because you just sort of think, well, I'm sat here, there's nothing else to do. Am I going to come out of this lockdown? I was saying this to Brett the other day. Am I going to come out of this lockdown, look back on how productive I was or wasn't, and be annoyed at myself? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's that kind of battle that you have with yourself. You can drive yourself mad.
And is there panic over that as comedians? Because one of the things that work ethic is something that's big for comedians, but it's also driven by everyone always saying that you need to stay sharp and you need to get your hours in on stage to stay at that level. So
me and Romesh have talked about this. Like, as far as I'm currently concerned, stand up is dead.
And
I think it might be.
And I don't. I keep watching. I've agreed to do a gig, an online gig tomorrow, but I don't know what that means because I keep looking like, and I say this with love to everyone who's been doing it, and I respect it, and I wish there were a solution to it. But currently, I don't think that stand up is something that can exist without being in the room with a live audience. And what I've seen of people trying to do online gigs is like this: is people on a computer talking to a camera, and they have sort of emojis on the side of clapping, and it's like it's so fucking depressing. It's not stand up, and it's like I just don't think it exists in the form that it is stand up. I don't think it exists without being in the room with the crowd. And what this is...
Because the audience is such a key part.
Yeah. There's no feedback.
No feedback. And also the timing's weird and it's just bleak. And there's no buzz because you don't feel the atmosphere. There's nothing. So I think we have to do stuff to keep comedy alive so we all have a career. But I don't think pretending that this is a gig is it.
No, I agree. Chris D'Elia has been talking about it a lot on his podcast recently because he had to cancel a big tour just as his Netflix special is coming out, and he's had a lot of people saying, are you going to do some online gigs? And he's just said a flat no to all of them because exactly that, he was saying that's not stand-up. He does a podcast already. Mm. He's like, I'll do more podcasts, and he does his podcast on his own, but that's a podcast. It's not stand-up. Yeah. I'm not going to do my material and just feel
the truth is that stand-up is so, like you said, it's so dependent on an audience feedback. You know, stand-ups are the biggest narcissists in the world in terms of we do a job that requires the audience to tell you that they love you every 30 seconds by laughing. Do you know what I mean? That is the job, right? It's so dependent on that. And how you perform is so dependent on how the audience are giving you stuff back. You watch a comedian, the same comedian doing the same stuff in front of a flat audience and in front of an amazing audience, and there's, I reckon, 30 to 40% improvement in what they're doing in front of a crowd that's really great, right? So there's all of that. And the other thing, and the thing is, to do that with no audience, it basically, what we do is bullshit. And so to expose that bullshit by not having an audience there to sort of keep the pretense up is fucking terrifying to me. Yeah. Every single time I see a gig being delivered down the barrel of the camera to no audience, I think they're going to find out. Yes. They're going to know. They're going to realise. They're going to discover this is all fucking bollocks. Yeah. You're endangering all of us here, man. This is we're fucking snake oil salesmen, and you're fucking pulling back the curtain. You're jeopardising all of us.
Backstage.
Yeah.
And you're seeing all this shit in their sleeves. And just the fake, you know, in stand-up you go, oh, man, what a day I've had. And people think it happened today, but it almost never happened today. But if you're in a room, in a fucking box, when you know you haven't left the house for 3 days, and you start going, so, what a wacky day I've had. People are like, what, in your box?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think it'll mean that it'll just push Gervais higher and higher as the biggest stand-up in the world? Because he laughs at his jokes as much as any audience. So he can probably still get away with it.
That's true. That's what we've got to learn to do. Fill the gaps.
Yeah, just genuinely. Just fill them gaps with your own wonderful... And again, I love it. It gives you the cues. It's perfect.
That's true.
But yeah, it's such a weird one because... So has it made you look?
Well, it's given me a lot more love for
in other ways.
Comedy.
Yeah, I was going to say sketches, podcasting, all these other things. Has
comedy
it made
survives.
You more motivated in those areas?
No,
it's a big no.
Well, look, the truth is that if we get to a situation where the way I see it is, if we get to a situation where stand up is dead, let's hypothesize that people never go,
go out again.
By the way, I don't think this is, but I don't think this is going to happen. But let's just say that is what's going to happen, right? I'm going to adapt and find a new way of doing it, or I'm just going to quit comedy, right? One of those two things is going to happen. And if either of those things happen, I'll be okay, right? What I don't want to do is start trying to second guess and trying to hit on the next big thing or the new revenue stream or whatever the fuck that's going to be for the sake of doing that. I think I came to do, I'm just speaking for me personally, I came to stand up organically. I didn't come to stand up because I thought this was going to be a good way to make money. I wanted to make it my job, but I love doing stand up. And so maybe I will find something. If stand up stops, maybe I'll find something else that's my avenue for doing that. Or maybe I won't. But, you know, you just have to sort of, I think if you start getting too fucking anxious about trying to find what you're going to do, that's not a good reason to start doing something. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? A good reason to start doing something is you have an idea or you have a bit of a creative spur and you start to try and find something because I've got to find something because I've got to make a living. That, no good things come from that. Do you know what I mean? Creatively, well, I don't think.
I was going to ask you that, Ramesh, and Brett as well, because I know that you've been through a thing recently. We've joked a load about how you've got 30 different TV shows, but part of that stuff comes from anyone in these kind of industries. If an opportunity comes along that you think is good, you have to take it because you fear it won't come along again. Do you think things like this lockdown is going to make people realise that they can exist with gaps in their moments? Because Brett as well, I know that you had a point recently where a load of things all came in at once and it was nerve-wracking and you weren't sure what to do, if you should do all of them, if you should select and things like that. So I wonder if this kind of situation that's happened is going to make us all realise more that, as we've been saying, we don't always have to be doing everything and we don't have to, it's not all just going to fall apart and we're not all going to be exposed and be, and suddenly go, all right, I was a fraud all along. Do you think any of that will come through out of this?
Well, I think that people might, I think that what this will lead to is a general period of reflection and I'm not just talking about just about comedy, I mean about how you're living your life.
Completely.
You know what I mean? And like, I think to myself, you know, over the last few weeks, I have, without getting too kind of wanky and worthy about it, I've been having great fun, like great time hanging out with my wife, who I haven't seen as much, you know, with work and whatever. I've been spending time with the kids and things like that. And I do think it would definitely be a situation where you probably come out of this thinking, well, I probably should have a proper think about what my work-life balance is. Do you know what I mean? And because you sort of you get so caught up in being busy, and I know all of you guys are like this, because I know all of you have those kind of work ethics where you're trying to push on and you're trying to do these things, and sometimes you have to stop and think to yourself, what the fuck am I doing this for? Because none of us, I don't think, from what I know about all of us, none of us are particularly money motivated. No. Do you know what I mean? You want to earn enough to get by, but it's not like we're all driven by purely by money. You just do it. So then you sort of think, well, what the fuck is my end game here? Do you know what I mean? And I think, you know, the end game is to hit a sweet spot where you're getting, you know, you're enjoying your work, but also spending and enjoying time with people you care about. I mean, I feel like a fucking so cheesy saying this, but I do mean it. Yeah. And so I think that this period will lead to people actually reflecting on that and having a real think about it. I genuinely do believe that.
I completely agree.
I think it's doing that.
Within the first week or so, I got hit up by five different things asking me if I wanted to host some online hip-hop quiz or host this and host that, and all of it, I was like, no, like, that wasn't what I didn't want to do that before this. I'm not suddenly in this situation. I'm like, oh, in that case, I guess I'd best host an online hip-hop quiz, otherwise what else is there to do? It shouldn't change the motivation.
And I think what we've got to remember as well is all of this stuff that we're making during this lockdown is still going to exist when the lockdown finishes. So you have got to be a bit careful about what you're shitting out. Do you know what I mean? I totally agree with you, because people are starting to panic and they want to make this and that. And I know for a fact that people think, well, this is a good opportunity to get something away quickly. Do you know what I mean? Or make something quickly in the circumstances. But you've also got to go, well, am I doing this because I think it's going to be fucking great?
Yeah.
Or am I doing this because I think it can happen? And doing something because it can happen is not a good enough reason to do
one
something.
One of the first messages I got when all this happened in the group message of my family to my mum and dad was from my brother, saying that 2021 is going to be the worst year for literature because there's going to be so much shit books, so many shit books from pricks who've got no place writing. And this isn't a dig at Stu here. I know Stu was already wet.
Christ, man.
This last 20 minutes has just been digging you out, Stu.
No, that wasn't a dig at Stu. But no, just genuinely saying that there's so many people who are saying that, oh, this is my chance to get... And again, it's not Stu, because I know Stu was already working on this and we'd talked about it, but so many people saying, this is my chance to start my YouTube show. The amount of podcasts that have started in this period.
Yeah, I get people messaging me saying they want to... Can I tell them about, you know, how to set up recording for that?
Yeah.
Like, I've had about four of those now. It's becoming like all creative avenues. It's like when MySpace was born, and then all of a sudden everyone was a musician, and there were peanuts in the turd, but there was a lot of turd there as well.
Yeah.
And I think we're just going to get all this. Netflix are going to be green lighting about thousands and trillions of scripts that have been written in the last 6 months. Yeah. It's going to be interesting.
But I do also think a lot of people are making these decisions to kind of put content out because potentially a lot of people have lost their jobs and they're panicking. And it's like, right, what can I do to make a few bob as well? I do think that that's really important in that, you know, people's decisions to kind of do some of these things, you know, whether it is doing a YouTube version of your podcast where, you know, you might be able to nick and have a few quid from it. I do think like the all of a sudden, like, you know, I'm without a big part of my income. I know Chris is as well. And it's like, okay, so I have to try and replace that. So I do think that, you know, we're all doing these things to try and also think, well I've got a mortgage to pay. Do you know what I mean?
But it's the balance of paying them all respect, right? I know a fair few girls who have like OnlyFans or make their money from online modelling, and the amount of girls who have now been, well, if I'm going to be at home for 2 months, I'm going to start an OnlyFans, and it gives kind of disrespect to the amount of work and effort that goes into creating content. And similarly, podcasting. Oh, I'm off for 2 months, I'll start a podcast. It's like, this takes a lot of work and effort.
With doing headstands. You know, some people have dedicated their lives to that.
Yeah,
exactly.
And can I just say, thank you for bringing up, Brett, because I do honestly think it is a fucking insult to the craft of headstands and the fine traditions of that culture. For you to suddenly think you're going to fucking be a pick that up during the lockdown.
Then? Okay.
I'll tell you what, if this would have been 2 years ago, I reckon in about half hour's time, Rom, you would have been doing a fucking headstand in all sorts of fucking shambles of a state.
In a waste paper bin.
Chris, how have you found it? Because you're someone who's always had a lot of projects that you want to work on in the creative industry, but your day-to-day wage isn't in the creative arts. So has this been kind of a blessing in that respect? Because it's
so
a false
weird
bit of time to do the stuff you actually want to be doing rather than the stuff that we can always tell ourselves it's a means to an end. It's putting money on the table so that I can do the things I want to do. But then we often don't get around to doing the things that we want to do. Mm. And we just do the bit that's the means to an end.
It's weird because I've got a bit of a butterfly mind, so I can't help but invent things all the time, whether or not it's a movie script or a game show. And about 3 months ago, I was like, wouldn't it be good if there was a TV show where... because I wanted to write the script that I've been talking to you about. And I was like, if I could just get a month where everyone just fucked off and just let me just get on with it. Yeah. And I was thinking, that'd be a good TV show, that would be, where you advertise it, you say, look, do you need a month where no one bothers you and you just get left alone to do this thing you're desperate to do? And then Corona hit. And it's such a weird thing because, like, when people keep checking in on me and, you know, how are you in yourself and these conversations that are happening a lot at the moment.
How are you? Why are they doing it in quotations? Do they not care?
Because I feel bad, Brett. I feel really bad about it because a lot of the time, the news headlines and everything that's happening is awful. And I have responsibilities and I don't have kids, but I'm responsible for other people and who are vulnerable. So all of that side is scary as hell. My mum, for example. Stu. And, so that worries me. But actually, the isolation and the spare time for me is just, like, it's been great. And it's such a weird thing to worry about that. A bit like Pip. I can be sociable, but I can be a hermit just as much.
Yeah.
So being stuck at the flat for 2 weeks so far, I've just been it's been a dream. And then I've got mates phoning me up going, I'm going out my fucking mind, man. I'm really seriously tripping out over all their worries about what's going to happen. And for me, it's just like, I was saying this to Ramesh, it hasn't, I haven't had my own little meltdown with it. I know when it got real for me was coming home one day and both me and my partner, we didn't want to hug. And she's always, probably always like that. But even I was like, I didn't want to, you know. I like
Even
I,
Craig
it felt
was
awkward.
Putting it away.
Exactly.
It's interesting, so, though.
That was it. That hit home that it was real because I felt like I was putting her at risk by, you know, hugging her because I'd been through Gatwick that day. But I haven't had any sort of panic about it. I haven't got too much time on my hands. And I think I've
been... Are you watching the news, Chris?
I do somewhat, yeah. And I also track some of the statistics across the world as well. But even
I've had to ignore it all. I can't watch it.
Yeah.
Because that's when I think I'll have a freak out. If I start like looking on social media at it all the time and like, I'm watching the news feed and it's... I just think the enormity of it might kind of kick then. And I know all I've got to do right now is stay in, you know, wash my hands and do what we've all got to do. And I don't need to know the severity of it. I know it's bad, but I think if I start subjecting myself to what's actually going on these news feeds, I think I'll drive myself fucking crazy.
Has it been for you, Stu, with the family? Or has it been for the family? Because they're not used to having you... As much as we've joked about it, it's been years since you've been in on Friday nights and stuff like that, because you've always had the club and you've always had all different work. How's that been for them, and how have you been in that situation? Because, it'll make me laugh if I see that you're recording four podcasts in your shed at the bottom of the garden, and I'm sitting there thinking, I wonder how your wife's doing in this. I wonder if she's like, yeah, it's great having Stu back. He's been in the shed. He's been in the shed all day, recording extra podcasts.
But it's, you know, it goes back to what Ron was saying earlier. Like, I do think that, you know, finding that kind of balance and trying to work out when you feel like you can just put Netflix on and watch a bit of telly in the day. Like, I haven't found that moment yet. I'm still trying to keep a routine of, like, working 9 to 5, like, get the computer out at 9, and it's like, right, try and do stuff. And then, like, you know, at the end of the day, then it's like, right, okay, let's go and hang out with the kids and do stuff like that. But to be honest, the kids, like, are homeschooling, and my wife's sort of dealing with a lot of that because, you know, her and both the kids are brighter than me, so...
Because you're busy doing headstands.
Imagine what it's like for the kids. They're trying to get on with some maths. They look out the window, see their dad just doing handstands on his own.
He's up against the fence again.
Yeah. Do you want to go out and join the remedial class out there, dear? Doing handstands in the garden.
That to be your future. We'll fucking keep this.
Keep this up, and I'll send you out there.
Oh dear. But in fairness, like, what we're all doing now, this kind of thing of everybody's now having like house party and Zoom and you know, these kind of Skype meetups and that. Like, my kids have been doing that shit for fucking ages. Like that's what they do with their mates, you know. They don't socialise as I did as a youngster, you know. It's like now all they're doing is they chat to their mates on FaceTime nonstop anyway. So I don't think there's been a huge adjustment for them. They've just sort of really took it in their stride. I mean, my kids are 17 and 15, and I think the eldest one's starting to get a bit sort of wants to get out a little bit, but my youngest, you know, has had an awful time at school anyway, so she's absolutely, you know, over the moon that she's not got to go to school and be surrounded by the people she don't want to, you know, be subjected to. So
is she getting much of it online or anything like that, mate, or is it kind of managing to shut those people out now and
Yeah, totally.
Brett,
yeah,
right, so. A thing that's that when Chris was talking about wanting some time to be locked away to get his creativity going, something that came to mind for me is something that I think you might relate to as well, because I've got the impression that you were probably like me, that you weren't necessarily the sportiest kid at school.
Where did you get that from?
And hang on. In your more recent years, you've got a bit into fitness.
Yeah,
you enjoy it, and I've thought for ages what I need is a light prison stretch to get into really good shape. Like if to get into the shape I want to be in, I just need a light prison stretch. And I think that would have crossed your mind at some point, Brett. So how's this been for you, fitness wise? Yeah,
fitness wise. Well, it's been. Well, I tell you this, is that I work out with a load of mums. Do you know that about me? Do you know that there's there's a gym near where I live that does like sort of circuit training, but it's just me and 17 mums. And
sounds quite predatory.
Well, but the thing is, I've made it. I've been there years enough now, and so far haven't caused it. But when I first went there, I tried to make myself.
Haven't caused a what? Haven't caused a what? A pregnancy?
A pregnancy? What you mean? A lawsuit? Nothing.
You didn't finish the sentence.
But I remember when I first started going there, I was really like so careful not to look creepy. But I think that probably looked more creepy because I'd just be in the corner just staring, not talking to anyone. Anyway, I work out with these mums a lot of mornings. That gym has closed, obviously, but what they've started doing is Zoom, is like Zoom workouts. But the first time that I did one with the mums, you could see all the mums in their houses. The very first time, because people didn't understand it. And when one person made a noise, their screen would become the main screen. So we're watching the instructor. One mum was doing a sit-up. She farted and it like enlarged her screen. And then one mum was working out and her husband walked in naked around the door and went, "What's this?" And she went, "Fuck off!" And that came up large. I mean, absolutely brilliant. I hope they don't learn that when you speak, it makes you bigger.
I'm not being funny, Brett. When you next go online to do that after this podcast has come out, I think you're going to probably find there's about another like 20,000 fellas on there.
it is frustrating because I don't have, you have a garden, which I'm incredibly jealous of, and I just live on the top floor, so I can't do jumping about because of my poor downstairs neighbour. So I have to not do jumping. And so all I can really do is low impact, high intensity, or weights. So I'm just doing I'm trying to do weights and shit and then go for a run when I can. That's it. I miss jumping about with the mums.
Of course you do. Jumping about with the mums.
What about you?
I've got a little gym at my place. So I've got my little gym and my garden. So I've been just in heaven. And it's been nice weather as well.
Yeah.
So I've been taking out my kettlebells and my steel mace and all my proper manly shit and just going having a right old time in the garden. Again, my neighbours.
Sorry, it sounded like you said steel mace there. But it can't be because we're not living in medieval times, so I'm not sure what the fuck.
Speak for yourself, Ramesh. Have a look at me. Yeah, yeah.
Have you got a steel mace?
A steel mace. I pop on my leather pants and I go in the garden and swing it back. No, it's a weight thing. It's a steel mace and it's got.
Okay.
So it's got something like a 20 kilogram weight on the end of it, and you do a load of different movement things that are engaging all your muscles at once rather than just a rep kind of thing. So, yeah.
That sounds good.
You've also got a salmon ladder.
Yeah.
I've got a salmon ladder
in my garden. So
have
that's,
you mastered that?
So that's, no, I ain't been on it this time. Earlier in the year, I had my first go on it for a year and I couldn't do it. So maybe I'll make that my headstand, if you will.
Yeah, that could be your headstand.
So what do you have to
do? It's basically these two poles that come out of the ground that have got ruts coming out of them. And then you you have a pole in your hand that isn't attached to them. You put it in the first rut and then you're off the ground.
Yeah, okay.
And you have to launch yourself into the next one and into the next ones.
It's fucking high, mate. It's really high.
Yeah, that sounds hardcore.
You know what?
The top one's about 11 foot in the air.
Yeah.
And I think if you got up there and you fell down,
Chris,
you'd do yourself a mischief.
The weird thing is because there's no logic in it, if you know what I mean. Like, you're not pushing off of anything. So it's a weird thing. Mm. So much of it is psychological. And when Chris was round once, I lost all the psychology I had on it because I was showing him how to do it and the bar I used snapped and I fell on my ass and it didn't hurt. I looked a bit silly. It's quite funny. But because of that, I've not been able to get back to it since because every time you go to do it, you slightly pull back and slightly go, oh, it's not going to work. oh, it's going to snap. And you need to go 100% into it.
Are you meant to go all the way up the top and then all the way back down?
No. The most I've ever gone up is 3. I think there's 6. But yeah, I've only ever gone up like 3 and then
3.
Jumped.
Fucking hell, bro. You're a bit of a taskmaster, aren't you? You go all the way up to the top and back the way all the way back down again.
Demand.
These mums don't fuck around.
Fucking hell.
You're not coming down until you work your way back down. So who's been so Ramesh and Stu have got obviously families you live with all the time. Myself, Chris and Brett have been isolating with relatively new partners. Not new, but not like married and kids.
Whose partner is still alive? Is that your question?
I dropped my partner back to her place today.
Did you really?
So
did she cough?
There's no beef.
Did she cough once and you dropped her off?
There's no beef. I had the first week isolating on my own and then we had 2 weeks isolating together and then I've dropped her back to have a week isolating separately again, which Brett is finding hilarious because he knows what a psychopath I am. But I think that's good. I think that's wise.
I'm going to pop you back here into the middle of this crowd and I'm going to leave you here for a little bit.
I'm guessing that you two haven't done that, Chris and Stu. So how's it going for you? Or Chris and Brett, sorry.
It's been brilliant. No, it's been good. And Brett, congratulations. I didn't know you had a significant other, mate.
Thanks very much.
How long has it been? How long have you been with her?
I mean, I don't want to sound like a prick, but it sort of depends on like at what point are you counting?
Yep. I'm
yeah.
Okay. Well, I think Chris, forgive me for making assumptions, but I think Chris might have been referring to when did you first get together. I assume that's what he meant by that question.
It's been a while.
Sorry, Chris. If I've misinterpreted what you're asking there, but.
Yeah. You've overstepped your mark there. It's not what I meant.
No.
Listen,
Chris meant was,
that's kind of easy
question.
What time
did you have breakfast this morning?
She's look, put it this way, right? She's absolutely wonderful and brilliant and amazing, and I really genuinely feel sorry for her because she's now trapped in a place with me, and I keep making her film me have dates with a plant, and that's her life.
Jeez. Dude, that is really good. That is really good. Stu switched me on to that, and you're smashing that out of the park.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
When you were talking about stand-up and comedy, and you know, it will move on, like in some format.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's not going to be that stand-up dies. You know, however long this is going to be, it's not going to be forever. But what you've done there with Lone Island is really funny.
Thanks, man.
But yeah, appreciate I do feel it. Sorry for your girlfriend.
Has anyone been doing your head in yet, Ramesh? Oh, sorry. On to Chris. Sorry. Going back to you, mate.
Yeah, great. So after a week of being with her mum just on their own, I then stayed a week on my own to make sure that I had no signs. And then on it was our second anniversary, going from the point at which we started seeing each other, which is
the traditional
helpful.
It's right. Helpful. Oh, school. Okay.
I went and picked her up from her mum's, brought her home, and the last 7 days we've been just in the flat, and it's been. Honestly, it's been great. No drama at all. It's been a good laugh. And for 2 years, it's kind of like, you know, I've lived with her for a year now, and there's no dramas. There's no like, it's very consistent and fun, and we don't have like wild blowouts. It's nice. It's good. I can't even make it up. I can't be. Yeah, we've had this tear up. The only thing I think I've driven her a bit mental because she's a very sweet girl, and yet the other day. She came up to me, just burped, and while she burped, she just put her finger out at me, and I was like, "Is that so?" I put it, and then you fart, and she just nodded, and I pulled it, and she farted, and I was like, "My God, what have I done to you?"
I think this is the what have I created.
Exactly. That makes me happy. So it's been all good. It's been all good. Yeah.
Ramesh, are you sick of anyone yet? Because obviously, you've got a family, but you are someone who's away a lot with work. With stand up, with TV,
yeah.
How are all the relationships holding up?
I think my wife's done with me, really. So basically, when I finished the touring, like the first leg of the tour at Christmas, and I had it like most of January not off, but I was at home doing bits and pieces. And I said to her, oh, this is really nice, isn't it? I might try and like work my diary so I'm home a bit more. And I promise you, she said, don't do that. Because her argument was that we're in a great relationship, but we don't need to see each other any more than we are currently, right? So now we're in a situation
this
where
is her nightmare.
We're forced to be together. Yeah, it is her nightmare. It essentially is her nightmare. But you know what? It has actually been nice, because you do sort of get caught up in, when you have kids, you get caught up in this thing where months can go by where all of your conversations are functional conversations about what you've got to do and organising this and sorting this out. And now all of our conversations have been about the impending apocalypse. So it's
lovely.
It's just a nice change. Lovely, you know what I mean? No, it's like, but you know, you're genuinely, we're talking about shit that isn't stuff about how we're running our lives. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's nice. But I'll be honest with you, I am conscious of the fact that I am very annoying to live with. Like, I think that if this goes on much longer, I would have to, I would probably take the option to self-isolate just for their benefit. Just for their ongoing sort of happiness, regardless of what happens, you know, Corona or not, I think it's better for them if I just take myself somewhere else for a minute.
Just
you know?
Take yourself out of it for a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah,
it's fair. Have any of you had any unexpected highlights or saviours? I've had two. I've had a TV show, which I'll get onto second, but this whole self-isolation thing, you can get into the kind of motions of we've got to watch this TV show, or we're doing this, or I'm working at this time, or exercising this time. We were sitting in the living room the other day, and suddenly a little mouse pops his head out. Wonderful entertainment for when you're housebound. I've got a little mouse in the house, and we had to have a hunt about, and it turns out he's been living off my protein powder.
No way. No.
Sorry, I don't think I understand what the word highlight means. Because it's been
wonderful.
What you've just described is a fucking horror show.
I just feel sorry for your girlfriend.
He's been living off the protein powder. I got home today, he was on the fourth run of the salmon ladder. He's smashing it. He's a little legend. But yeah, we had to have a whole day clearing out cupboards and all sorts. And I was dead excited about a little mousy guest, a muscly mouse.
Share protein Pip, what's your in the morning? You're in the mouse.
Yeah, we do. Or no, I've not been having, again, this is boring, but I've moved on to solid protein supplements like the protein brownies or the carb crushers. So my protein powder had just been sitting in the cupboard, and this mouse has been going to town on it. So
are you saying that you're happy to sort of just continually coexist with this mouse? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Now what?
But,
a resident.
But I've dropped my girlfriend back at her house.
Right. So now.
Fucking hell! Can you imagine?
So now you're happy.
I've popped her back. I'm really sorry. Yeah, I've got this really hench mouse to fuck now. So.
I've not been giving him the attention he requires, so I've got to spend a week focusing on the mouse, and then we'll go back to cohabiting.
Yeah. That makes sense,
and it'll be fine. But
Pip, who suggested the self isolation?
Yeah.
I suggested it the second day that she was here. Obviously, I did. It's me. I was talking to Brett in that, because Brett messaged me going, are you and your missus isolating together? Because he was shocked, because obviously that's not very...
Oh,
me.
So was I.
Yeah. He was shocked.
Molly said, is Pip with his missus? I went, nah, I very much doubt it. And then I saw a picture of her in your back garden, and I was like, hang about.
But then, yeah.
No, you texted me on the second day, and you said, I now live in the garden, is what you said.
Yeah. Well, that's where I was getting my writing done. I was exercising. I was getting my writing done. I built a little tent, so sometimes I sleep there. But in general, it's just a good space in the garden.
In general, it's just me, the mouse, and a tent.
We generally speak every day, Pip. And you didn't say anything about, like, your girlfriend being at your house. What you did say every time I phoned, you was like, I'm on my third workout of the day.
He's such a loser. You've been sleeping in a tent.
Look, I'm an unusual
that
guy.
That is incredible.
Okay, I've not been sleeping in a tent, really. I'm just, you know, I've been very motivated. But yeah, also, I've tried to get Brett to watch a show called Joe Pira Talks. Has anyone seen this?
Oh, shit. No, I still haven't.
It's on All Four. It's 10-minute episodes, and it's fucking... It's mind-blowing. It makes me laugh and cry. But, you know, let's not push it too hard. What have been your unexpected highlights or things that have got you through that you wouldn't have thought are going to be won?
I went for a run in Stamford, and when I got past your garden, I saw a fucking mouse do a headstand. Inspired me, man.
ripped mouse.
That's my little mousey, mate.
One of my unexpected highlights was the OC season 2.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I wanted to watch The Wire, but turns out my vote counted for shit.
More difficult.
And the OC won over. And the writing on that show is incredible, and I just encourage you all to go and watch the OC, because all the crazy things happen. If someone walks in a scene and you think, yeah, someone's going to get shot here, or that kid's going to have an affair with someone's mum, it just happens. Always the most ridiculous thing happens. So
do you know sometimes, you know when they talk about writing scripts and they say sometimes if you want to try and figure out a solution, think about the maddest thing that could happen to elevate that scene. Yeah. I think that was the only strategy they had for that show.
For sure.
Just fucking, for sure. What if his head falls off? Fuck it, let's roll with it.
Think about the maddest thing and work back from there. No time for the working back thing. Let's just go with it. If it works, it works.
Yeah.
I love it. It was incredible. I didn't expect to enjoy it as much as I have done. It's been really good. As has, obviously, everyone's been rabbiting on about Tiger King. I'm nearly at the end of that. But that's some crazy shit, that is, for a documentary.
Right, can one of you please... I don't want to be... Listen, I'm saying this genuinely, right?
Brett, I think I might agree with you on this.
I haven't seen Tiger Prawns. Everyone's seen it. Everyone I know. People I respect, people I don't respect. Every cunt I know has watched Tiger Prawns. Now, the other day... I watched the trailer of Tiger Prawns and I thought, I have no interest in watching this. I don't know what it is about this that everyone is shitting themselves about. Can you please tell me why everyone gives a shit about this thing? Because I couldn't even see what would be the appeal of this. I was like, what is this? Why would I want to watch this? Explain.
All I'll say is that it feels like it's made up. I feel like I'm not at the end of it, and I think that at the end it's going to go... Just joking, obviously this could not be reality.
You know what Chris was saying about the OC?
Is it laughing at poor people? That's what worries me. Is it sort of...
No. I think it's...
Brett, let me just reassure you, it's not a continuation of your hobby. it's completely removed from
then
that.
I'm in.
Yeah, because Brett has had his absolute fill of laughing at poor people.
I just want to
check... If anything, that was on his... So much... That was on his list of things he wanted to take a break from in isolation. If anything, this isolation has been nice because there's been far less laughing at poor people.
He made a promise to himself. Just for a few weeks, can I stop laughing at poor people and just get on with some... Maybe try and enjoy some other stuff.
And then Tiger King came out.
Palate cleanser.
No, it's what Chris was saying about the OC, except it's reality. Like, you'll be watching it, you'll be like... The most ridiculous thing you could imagine writing to happen suddenly happens, and it's absolutely bonkers. But again, the weird part is the main guy, Joe Exotic, who's kind of the villain of the piece, you can't help but love him. I didn't end up coming out of it going to be like, oh, that piece of shit, other than the animal cruelty. But yeah,
it's crazy because it really it's such a good sort of example of how wide the human brain and human behaviour can be, Brett.
Okay.
Because sometimes you think, well, that's incredible, or I'm really impressed that you can sort of do that, and then on the exact same hand, you're like, that's disgusting and shocking, and yeah.
Have you watched it, Robert?
I think you got to watch it.
I've watched half of it.
And what was your thinking?
Well, look, I think that it's great. It's just like Look, I'm going to be honest with you. There is a bit of... There's not laughing at poor people, but the reason... You're laughing at a certain substrata of society. Yeah. That is definitely true.
But,
do you know what I mean?
But the biggest villains of the piece are the rich ones, right? So Carol Baskin and that Doc guy are both incredibly wealthy, and they're the kind of ones that you're hating. So it's not the poor ones. You're kind of on the side of the poor people.
No, definitely. It's how they're recruited.
That's probably why you watched the trailer and thought there's nothing in this for me. It's like the same. You know, the same time when you watch Comic Relief and you get angry. It's going to be
I get really angry at the serious bits. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, you just think, just fucking
do the
just try and get yourselves out of this situation. Just fucking
why are you making Lenny Henry carry all this?
This is meant to be relief. But yeah, it's bizarre how quickly, like Ramesh was saying earlier, how it went from everyone was kind of dismissive of it, of the lockdown, to all of a sudden, oh, we have to take it seriously. That was exactly in line with when everyone started watching Tiger King. And we're like, all right, well, we have to stay home then. So again, it's no intelligence of the British public going, we should take it seriously. Yeah. It's like, I've got something I want to finish. So, yeah, seriously, guys.
Bro, stop
going to parks. Yeah. Come on. Get Tiger King finished, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Will you finish it, Ramesh?
Yes, I will. The only reason I haven't finished it, Brett, is because I got distracted by The Mandalorian on Disney Plus.
Oh, so I've started watching that.
I've started it. I'm furious that they're dropping it a week at a time.
Oh, mate. It's
all come out on the American one, for fuck's sake. Just mate, launch it.
Do you know what's really... Okay, I'm really actually fucking furious about this. I'll tell you why, right? The fact that they released it in America and have delayed it for some fucking unknown reason in Europe, right? Look, guys, spoiler alert, and it isn't going to be a spoiler if you've had any connection. Baby Yoda is in this show, right? Now, Baby Yoda would have been, if you were watching that for the first time without any prior knowledge of that show, would have been a fucking incredible... Yeah. Moment, but because it came out in America ages ago, I knew all about that prick. Yeah. And so when it was revealed in the actual show, it did nothing to me. I should have been jizzing all over my fucking television at that point, right? But I wasn't. And now, like Pip says, they're putting them out a week at a time. Just what the fuck? It's like they're deliberately trying to shit on us here, man. It's unbelievable.
It's because they've given otherwise a week people away just get free. They'll do that.
What's the membership? It's real cheap, right? It's like $6.99 or something like that.
If
it was all out that month, we'd burn through it in this first week of isolation.
Yeah.
Because from what I hear, it's pretty decent. And then that's it. You'd like cancel your subscription because I'm not in it for the Lion King. No disrespect.
Well, listen. Do you know what they need to do? Instead of coming up with stupid little pricing strategies like that and teasing us, put some decent fucking product on the thing. And make people commit to it long term.
Yeah,
for fuck's sake.
That's a business model. Just charge a flat rate for The Mandalorian. People will pay it 100%.
Yeah.
Oh, we're all going to be in isolation for the rest of the year. We ain't cancelling our subscription.
Yeah.
Don't worry. We're here for the long run. It's got all the Marvel and Star Wars on there. So it's all good. I had huge excitement as I was watching the first episode and Werner Herzog's in it.
Oh,
wow.
I didn't know, and I wasn't expecting, and I said excitedly to my partner, "Oh shit, it's Werner Herzog!" And she didn't know who he was.
And you said, "Get on the train."
No, I had to say, "It doesn't matter."
I
paused and thought, "How am I going to explain this? How am I going to explain why I'm excited about this weird old man?" I was like, "Oh, it's all right."
Oh, do you know what? Just go home. Just fucking go home.
This isn't good.
And then I called the mouse over. And he was like, wrath of God. Oh, my God.
Werner Herzog, love him.
Look at this chicken. He was loving it. The mouse
was like, let's go outside and do the salmon ladder. And you were like, yeah.
I'm going to start a series of me and the mouse.
I love you and the mouse.
Pip and the mouse. Oh. Isolation diaries.
You've been listening to Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces.
There we go. That was part one. Part two is going to be out at midday. It's worth mentioning at this point that both Hardcore Listing and Films to be Buried With have Patreons. And on their Patreons, from Friday, will be video, screen grab video. So the audio won't be as good as this. But I believe the Hardcore Listing lads are just uploading the whole thing. And Brett Goldstein of Films to be Buried With is going to be potentially cutting it into more digestible chunks. So yeah, get on board with either of their patrons. In times like this, it's good to have extra ways to push patrons and extra ways to support artists. And we're thinking maybe down the line we might release it, the video on YouTube for the wider audience, but we're not sure. It's genuinely, we've rushed this through and we're trying to make it all together. So for now, on Friday, there will be video stuff from this on Hardcore Listing Patreon and on Films to be Buried with Patreon. Maybe if lockdown goes on longer and we feel it'd be a nice gift to everyone and none of the patrons are too offended, then we'll put it out on YouTube as well. But for now, it's just here in the podcast for free and then the video on Hardcore Listing and Films to be Buried with. So yeah, the video will be there. Part two will be out at midday. It gets really messy. It's part two where we all laughed. You may have seen the clip on social, but we all laughed more than we've ever laughed. There's literally, I don't know how long the chunk is, but it's just laughter. Yeah, hope you're enjoying this. Apologies for any offence, and we'll see you shortly. Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Marc Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Marc.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.